What do you think about leaders that stand up and profess to believe in God and even Jesus Christ, declare themselves as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, and yet they do not do what the Word of God says? It's all about them, or it's all about political expediency. And then what do you think about them when they call for prayer, but they will not walk according to the statutes of God? We'll talk about it today as we look at God's precepts for life. We began this week, one of the things I told you is that there are people that get in desperate situations that cry out for prayer. They want prayer. They want deliverance, but they do not want interference from God in their lives. They want to pick and choose what they can believe and what they can do. The other thing that I want you to see this week is that everything rises and falls on leadership. One man, now listen, one man can change the destiny of a nation. You look at Hitler in Germany. You look at other people down through the ages, and you see how one man, in his ego, in his determination to have his way or to carry out his pet theory or his pet project, can absolutely destroy a nation. Oh, it doesn't look like it at the beginning, and people run and they flock to him and they gather around him and they support him and they vote for them because there are certain things that they like about him or certain things that they think that they're going to benefit from because they're the same nationality or they're the same color or they're the same belief or whatever. And so they begin to follow that person. But then things don't hold up. Well, Zedekiah is now our focus in Jeremiah chapter 37. In Jeremiah chapter 37, what we see is God turns from the time of Jehoiakim to the time of Zedekiah. But as I said, when you look at Jeremiah, it is not laid out chronologically. Rather, it is laid out, in a sense, topically. It's laid out to pull truths together or events together so it gets a great bang, so that it really comes at it this way and that way and that way. And finally, all these facets of light thrown on this truth or this situation illuminate it. And so what we saw when we started was the Rechabites. The Rechabites who had been told by their forefathers that they were not to drink wine, that they were to dwell in tents, and that they were not to plant seeds or crops, but they were to be a nomadic people. They're invited to the temple and they are offered wine. They are given this cup of wine, but they say, oh no, we'll never drink it, because our forefather said we are to keep this forever. So God uses them as an example of a group of people that listen to their forefather, another human being, and carry out his command. They make a pledge. They listen. They obey. They listen. They observe to do what their father has commanded them. And he says, here I am. God is speaking, and I'm speaking to you, and you're not listening. So we saw that in chapter 35. Then we move to chapter 36. And when we move to chapter 36, we see that it is the fourth year of Jehoiakim. And Jeremiah sits down and he writes in a scroll. He has Baruch do it, write in a scroll everything that he has been telling him since the days of Josiah. And so he writes it down in the next year, in the fifth year, in the ninth month, Jehoiakim gets a hold of it. He listens to it. He takes out a scribe's knife and he just cuts it up. He throws it into the fire where they're keeping warm until all the scroll is burnt. But God has Jeremiah and Baruch write another one with even more words of judgment. Then we come to Jeremiah chapter 37. And you see this theme of not listening, this theme of not obeying, this theme of these are the consequences. You see the Rechabites bless because they do listen, because they do obey. Then you see Jehoiakim not blessed, and you see that he's not going to have anyone to sit on the throne because he did not listen to God. There are consequences. And we think because the consequence doesn't come immediately, or because there is some sort of a judgment that we feel that has fallen on us, but then it's like the judgment is taken away. Hey, the judgment's gone. See, that prophet didn't know what he was talking about. We're perfectly okay. We're perfectly okay. And they relax. Now watch what happens. Jeremiah 37, verse 1. Now Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had made king in the land of Judah, reigned as king in place of Coniah, or Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim. And this is because he only reigned 3 months, and God told him that he wouldn't stay on the throne of David. It says, but neither he, Zedekiah, nor his servants, now catch this, neither Zedekiah nor the men that were serving him, nor the people of the land listened to the words of God. They did not listen. So you draw a green arrow and put a slash through it, which he had spoken through Jeremiah the prophet. Yet, and you see the yet, there's a contrast here. It's a very important contrast. Yet, King Zedekiah sent Jehukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Masai, the priest, to Jeremiah the prophet, saying, please pray to the Lord, our God, on our behalf. I refuse to listen to God, but pray to God on my behalf. Pray to God on our behalf as a people. I won't listen, but I want God to do my bidding. I want his mercy. I want his grace, but I do not want to listen. Can you do that? Please pray to the Lord our God on our behalf. Verse 4. Now Jeremiah was still coming and going out among the people. And you want to underline this in some way. I put a black squiggly line under it. For they had not yet put him in the prison. He had not yet been incarcerated. He had not yet stood in that pit and sunk into the mud. It says, meanwhile, Pharaoh's armies, this is very important, had set out from Egypt. And when the Chaldeans, who had been besieging Jerusalem, heard the report, they lifted the siege from Jerusalem. All right, so just imagine the city. Imagine around all the walls of the city. Imagine around all the walls of the city. You have the enemy camped. The enemy is laying siege to the city. No one can come out. No one can go in. Well, they can come out and surrender, but they're laying siege to the city. No food is getting in. No, nothing is getting in. All right. So they're laying siege. Jeremiah has been saying Babylon is going to take the city. The city is going to be burned with fire. He said it before, he's saying it again. But then all of a sudden, hey, you hear the troops coming up from the south, from Egypt, Pharaoh sending up his army, and they think, oh, good, we've been delivered. And Babylon, they get out of there. Babylon gets out of there and they go away. And when they go away, the people in the city say, see, see, no problem. I told you we would be all right. Now watch what it says. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, Thus you are to say to the king of Judah, who sent you to me to inquire of me, that's Zedekiah, behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come out for your assistance, is going to return to its own land of Egypt. Pharaoh's army is not going to help you. They're going home. The Chaldeans will also return. Oh, the Babylonians that left, that went away, that disappeared. Hey, they're going to come marching back. And when they come marching back, they're going to lay siege to the city again. He says the Chaldeans will return and fight against this city. Now watch, they will capture it and burn it with fire. Burn the city with fire. That is a key phrase you want to mark over and over and over again. Just put red on it or put a Star of David over the city because it's Jerusalem, and then mark it in some way so that it's distinctive. Because God doesn't say it once. He says it over and over and over again. You can read about it. Really, you've read about it in Jeremiah chapter 34, verse 21 and 22. So it says, thus says the Lord, listen carefully, do not deceive yourselves, saying, the Chaldeans will surely go away from us, for they will not go. Don't deceive yourself. So many times we deceive ourselves when we think that we can go against the word of God and get away with it. And sometimes it looks like we got away with it. And sometimes it looks like, hey, God is blessing us. But then the axe falls and then the head rolls. It says, for even if you had defeated the entire army of the Chaldeans who were fighting you, and there were only wounded men left among them, each man in his tent, they would rise up, those wounded Chaldeans, and they would burn the city with fire. Now the question is why? Because God has said it. Because God has said it. Because God is behind the calamity. Remember, we saw this in chapter 36, verse 3. Perhaps the house of Judah will hear of all the calamity I plan to bring on them. Beloved, do you understand that there is judgment for disobedience, for not listening to God? We'll look at it in just a minute. Thank you, beloved. Thank you so much for studying. Thank you for wanting to know the Word of God. Thank you for having a listening ear, a listening heart. And I can promise you that if you will continue to listen, although life may get hard, although it may be difficult, although people may come against you for your stand, still, God is watching, and there is a reward. It says in Revelation 22:12, Jesus says, behold, I am coming and my reward is with me. That's when the rewards are coming, to give to everyone according to their deeds. So your deeds need to be found wrought in the Word of God, wrought in the power of Jesus Christ. Well, we come to verse 11 of Jeremiah 37. And remember now, the Chaldeans have withdrawn because Pharaoh is there, but he says they're coming back, but not yet. Watch what happens. Now it happened when the army of the Chaldeans had lifted the siege from Jerusalem because of Pharaoh's army, that Jeremiah went out from Jerusalem to go to the land of Benjamin in order to take possession of some of his property. So he leaves the city and he's on the way out of the city, and one of the men recognize him. Now watch what it says. While he was at the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the guard whose name was Erah, the son of Shemali, the son of Hananiah, was there, and he arrested Jeremiah the prophet and said, "You are going over to the Chaldeans." In other words, you left the city, you're going out, and you're going over to the Chaldeans. And Jeremiah looked at him, and you're going to really appreciate this next week, and he said, "That's a lie. That is a lie. I am not going over to the Chaldeans." Yet he would not listen to him. This man would not listen to him. So Erah arrested Jeremiah and brought him to the officials. So they bring them back to these officials that are sitting there. And it says, and the officials were angry at Jeremiah, and they beat him, and they put him in jail in the house of Jonathan the scribe, which they had made into a prison. Here's a man that stands for God. Here's a man that speaks for God. Here's a man that, as you've studied Jeremiah with us, is not allowed to marry. Here's a man that is not allowed to go to parties, that is not allowed to go to funerals, that is not allowed to go to weddings because of the gravity of the times and the situation. Here is a man that has been faithful to God. Here is a man that says, "I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit. I'm not going to talk anymore." But God's word is in him like a fire, burning like a fire, and he cannot keep silent. Now he's beaten. Now he's put in jail. And it says, for Jeremiah had come into the dungeon, and that is the house of the cistern pit. It's another way that you could describe it. The vaulted cell, and Jeremiah stayed there many days. So you want to take your green pen and circle days, or make a green clock there, so that you know that this wasn't just an overnight stay. Now watch this king. Watch this king. You're going to see more about him tomorrow. But now King Zedekiah sent and took him out, and in his palace, the king leans over to Jeremiah secretly and begins to talk to him, because he wants to know, is there a word? Is there a word from God? Then King Zedekiah sent, verse 17, took him out, and in his palace, the king secretly asked him. Now I would mark secretly ask him and said, is there a word from the Lord? This is a man that won't listen to God. This is a man that wants prayer to get out of his situation. This is a man that is leaning against the prophet and secretly saying, is there a word from the Lord? This is a man that wants a word from God. Now remember this. This is so key. Wait until you see what we study next week. It'll blow your mind. But this is a man that wants a good word from God. This is a man that wants a word that is going to support what he wants to do. And watch what he says. Is there a word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. Now, what does Jeremiah know? Jeremiah knows Zedekiah. Jeremiah could tell Zedekiah anything. Now, remember, he's in prison. Remember, he is locked up. Remember, he is in a vaulted cell. Remember that he is scared. He is a human being. God, yes, in Jeremiah chapter 1 said that they will come against you. He says, you don't be dismayed by their faces. I want to show you this verse because it's so important. In Jeremiah chapter 1, and I have this in my office where I can keep it before me. He says, do not be dismayed before them, lest I dismay you. He's got to tell them the truth. And Jeremiah says, there is. You will be given into the hands of the king of Babylon. That's not what Zedekiah wants to hear. Moreover, Jeremiah said to King Zedekiah, in what way have I sinned against you or against your servants and against your prophets that you have put me in prison? Where then are your prophets who prophesied to you, saying, the king of Babylon will not come against you or against this land? The king of Babylon's been there. But he thinks the king of Babylon is gone away, but the king of Babylon is coming back. He says, the king of Babylon will not come against you or against this land. But now, please listen. Oh, Lord, my King, please let my petition come before you. Do not make me return to the house of Jonathan the scribe that I might not die there. Do you see his humanity? Do you see his humanity? You've got to see that we go through difficult situations, and it doesn't mean that we're not afraid. Doesn't mean that our knees don't knock. Doesn't mean that it's a cool breeze because we know what God's saying. And yet, although Jeremiah does not want to die, although he doesn't want to be in that place where he is forgotten, where he has no food and they're sieging the city, Jeremiah speaks the truth. Would you speak the truth? Will you speak the truth? Will you stand for righteousness? Will you hold forth the word of life in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation? Then King Zedekiah gave commandment and committed Jeremiah to the court of the guardhouse. He brought him out of the vaulted cell, put him in the court, gave him a loaf of bread daily from the baker's street until all the bread in the city was gone. So Jeremiah remained in the court of the guardhouse. And I'm leaving you suspended. What is going to happen next? Why did I say everything rises and falls on leadership? Oh, beloved, before tomorrow, before the next program, I urge you to read Jeremiah 38 and 39, and you will see that God watches over his word to perform it. We are called to be his light. We are called to hold forth the word of life right now. We are called to tell the truth. We are called not to fear the face of man. We are called to remember that it is given unto us to suffer. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Jeremiah suffered persecution. And yet, when Jesus said to his disciples, in this world you have tribulation, he says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world.
On the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Well, we've heard the chapter. We've heard Jeremiah chapter 37. So what are we going to do with it? Are we going to think, oh, that's interesting history? That's an interesting account. Oh, no, beloved, because the things that were written beforehand were written for our instruction and our encouragement upon whom the end of the ages has come. What is God's instruction here? God's instruction, I think, is found in verse 17 when it says, now King Zedekiah sent and took him out, Jeremiah out, and in his palace. He didn't take him out because he was being dealt with unjustly. He took him out for his own benefit. It says, and in his palace, the king secretly asked him, is there a word from the Lord? What is God saying to you and me? Sometimes we want a scripture that will condone what we're doing, condone our lifestyle, condone what God calls immorality, whether it's adultery, whether it's homosexuality or lesbianism, whether it is molestation of children or whatever. We want something, another scripture that's going to tell us that we can live that way and still be a Christian, that that can be our habit of life and we can still be favored by God. We want another word from the Lord. Well, I want you to know that when you look at this book, it's one message. It's a message from God. God is absolute truth. God does not contradict himself. Scripture does not contradict Scripture. Rather, Scripture interprets Scripture. I believe in the United States of America that we are in the trouble we're in because we have not judged sin the way God tells us to judge sin. I believe we're in the trouble that we're in because we've called evil good and good evil. I believe that we're in the trouble that we're in because somehow we have been told that God loves us. And because God loves us, we can live any way we want. God's not going to judge us. If you don't hear somebody talking about sin, if you don't hear somebody talking about judgment, if you don't hear somebody that delineates the good from the bad, the righteousness from the unrighteousness, the blessing of God from the judgment of God, you're not hearing about the true message of God. It's one book, one message, and that is, be holy even as I am holy.
Thank you for watching today. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.